This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
What a week it's been so far. Welcome in to VSiN by the Books. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose. Mark Malus is in for Super Dave Ross. Dave is finishing up some vacation. But he will join us later today, folks. A little UFC 329, a little Scottish Open. Moose, I'm sure he was setting the alarm clock early for the 2 a.m. Eastern tee-off across the pond in Scotland. As always on a Thursday, we will have the maestro Mike Palm join us live from Circa Sports there in downtown Las Vegas. Anthony DeBundo going to join us at 9:45 Eastern, too. We have quarterfinal action in the World Cup getting underway. First and foremost, brother, been a great week with you. I know it has been a roller coaster ride watching some New York baseball, whether you're a Yankee fan, Met fan, or both. I feel like I need to have a vent session with you about how bad these Yankees and Pinstripers have been the last couple of weeks.
Oh, it's been brutal. They're playing like the worst team in baseball, Jensen. They're doing safety squeezes last night down in Tampa. You want to talk about gripping the bat tight? Dominguez slotting into home. I haven't seen the Yankees do a squeeze play. I can't tell you the last time the Yankees tried a squeeze play. That's how bad it is. Besides the record, I know we'll get into it. I know we got plenty of time this morning. The Yankees in 20 games in major league level. Mind you, we just saw the Royals in the span of two games score 31 runs. The Yankees have scored 56 runs as a team in 20 games. I mean, that is abysmal offensively.
It is bad. If only we took calls on this show, my goodness, what people would be saying to us from over there, the tri-state area. A lot to get into, as we said, a great guest list upcoming for you, but we start on the pitch. It is do or die time in the biggest of ways. That's where we start today's edition of Highlights and Headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
A rematch from 4 years ago. These two powerhouses met, and it was France that moved on in a scintillating fashion. Will we have a little different result today from Boston Stadium up there in Foxborough? France and Morocco, Moose, get the quarterfinal round underway. Right now on the to advance line, France a decided favorite at $4 on DraftKings. Morocco is 3-1 to qualify. The 90-minute regulation money line, France a pretty healthy favorite there at -$1.75. Morocco +550. The draw there for 90 minutes plus stoppage time at +280. Listen, I know we got to catch our breath yesterday. Anthony DeBundo is going to join us in the final hour to give us his take not only on today's action, but through the rest of the quarterfinal round. Things you may be looking for. It's Gillette Stadium to us, but we have to call it Boston Stadium here, at least for the next week or two.
Yeah, it is Boston Stadium, and they've done this, whether it be at L.A. or, at MetLife in the tri-state area over there in East Rutherford, New Jersey. What do I expect this afternoon? I expect brilliance from France. You know, I we've seen some strange results here. The World Cup, obviously, I don't think Morocco's going to go quietly. I don't think they're necessarily going to be as physical as Paraguay was, and people had issues with the way they played against France in the last match, but I would expect the French team, who are an overwhelming or a favorite, less than 2-1, to win the World Cup overall. And people talk about the talent, the depth. Mbappe obviously has been unbelievably brilliant for this French team. They're going to take a lot of beating. I'd be surprised if they don't march on. That's why they're nearly a 4-1 favorite to move through and get themselves to a semifinal. You know, they're less than, -170 favorite to win in 90 minutes. I expect France to win, but I would think that Morocco is going to try and maybe park the bus, be as defensive as they possibly can, whatever it might be, to limit the impact of a really, really uber talented French team.
Yeah, we will break this down in earnest. For those that don't know, this is a rematch of the 2022 World Cup semifinal in which Le Bleu ended up blanking Morocco 2-0 to move on to the World Cup final. So we will talk much more about what this quarterfinal matchup looks like. Some really actually advantageous betting angles to get into, but much more upcoming here in just moments. Already underway at the Renaissance Club in North Berwick, Scotland. We got a rabbit out there. It's Bernd Wiesberger, who is 6-under through 16 at the moment. He is one stroke ahead of Tom Kim, Minwoo Lee, and Patrick Cantlay, who has had a really nice round, 5-under through 13. A couple of the big dogs out early. Brooks Koepka is tied for 9th at -3, as is Rory McIlroy and J.J. Spahn. We will see some of the other big names, including Ludvig Åberg, Scottie Scheffler, later on here this morning. I know we will catch up with Captain America, Super Dave Ross. If you followed him on social media, he gave out the plays that he sent us yesterday. I know we will touch on those here, Moose, moving forward. So already some very low numbers and some advantageous scoring already in the first round of the Genesis Scottish Open. Hey, we nearly had history again yesterday. Not once, but twice. And it was the first game of the day, the lone afternoon affair. You were all over it, taking the Blue Jays. I ended up taking the Jays -1 and an alternate run line. And we almost had Dylan Cease get to a no-no. He pitched into the 9th inning, a little change from where we've seen some managers previously. We've got some great sound upcoming from John Schneider, as do we with Don Kelly, the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Jared Jones there for Pittsburgh was perfect through 6 innings, but was lifted because of a pitch count and also coming off injury standpoint. Hey, this is a Cy Young front runner here with Cam Schlittler in the American League. Cease looked, Moose, utterly dominant throughout that start yesterday.
Oh, it was great. And we talked about that and, you know, being an afternoon affair and a good pitching matchup at the start. It really was. But when you look at, when you look at what Cease has been here for the Toronto Blue Jays, he has been really, really good. I applaud John Schneider for the decision that he made. Dominant performance offensively. And obviously Cease put on an absolute show out there in the Bay Area. So it was fun to see, fun to watch. And Cease is one of those guys. If you see a little bit of regression here, from Cam Schlittler, if Toronto is able to get themselves back into it. And even in American League, even if as you've struggled here in the first half, you're not really out of a playoff spot or a playoff race because it's just how decidedly average the American League is. All you need is, you know, a solid 3 or 4 weeks. But Cease was brilliant, as we've seen him, you know, be brilliant before, whether it be Chicago, whether it be San Diego. And obviously now, after signing with the Toronto Blue Jays in the offseason as a free agent.
Yeah, Blue Jays now beginning play today, just 2.5 games back of the final wild card spot occupied by the Texas Rangers. A lot of teams now. We're looking at 6 teams, including the Detroit Tigers, who have now won 4 in a row, as have the Boston Red Sox, winners of 5 in a row. 6 teams within 4 games of the final playoff spot. And if you want to add in the Guardians, we have 7 teams within 4.5 of the final 2 wild card spots. So a dandy of a race there on the American League side. We got a great announcement yesterday, and I think one we anticipated, if not this year, then potentially this offseason. Justin Verlander officially announcing that he will retire at the end of this season. 10-time All-Star, was just announced as a Legends pick by Commissioner Rob Manfred for the Midsummer Classic next week as a member of the American League All-Star team. He has won the Cy Young 3 times. He was the American League MVP in 2011, 2-time World Series champion, and the 06 Rookie of the Year. I will tell you that as a young rookie in 2007, I got to see him in just prime Justin Verlander form. But I give you a quick story here, Moose. My first ever college baseball game was down in Charleston, South Carolina. We, the Vanderbilt Commodores, played the Old Dominion Monarchs there. And there was a guy by the name of Justin Verlander who made the start. And I got to tell you, 96 to 98 miles an hour, we didn't stand a chance even with metal bats. We kind of knew then we were seeing greatness in front of us. And boy, what an absolute gem of a career he's had. A surefire first ballot Hall of Famer to Cooperstown, no question about it.
Yeah, I mean, 266 career wins when you're looking at Verlander. Yeah, I mean, it's time. Father Time catches up with everybody. You look at Verlander, but you talk about his impact, what he was with Detroit, then what he provided with Houston. You know, he's one of the best pitchers during his era, one of the best pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. I don't think there's any question about it. And so it's sad to see it. Sad to see as time goes by really, really quickly, but I think for Justin Verlander coming to the realization, it is time. He's nowhere near that caliber of pitcher, and honestly, he can't do what he once did.
I think what's honest is that he's been a guy who has really personified what it's meant to be so professional late in his career. It hasn't been, you know, the all about me thing here. It's always been, all right, I'm going to try and fit in where I can get in here and help the young guys, a staff of veterans, even rookies that have tried to make their mark in the big leagues. So mile high salute there to Justin Verlander for a career that will definitely live long, especially in Tiger lore. He is definitely one of those Mount Rushmore guys for that organization. Okay, we have the women's draw in Wimbledon into the semifinal round here this morning. It'll be Coco Gauff and Caroline Mahova who get it underway at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. Linda Nuskova against Marta Kostyuk are going to also follow about an hour later. These are two pretty tight matches as far as the money lines go. Mahova about $1.22 favorite. Coco Gauff plus 102. Hey, Gauff has been the queen of the comeback so far in her run to the semifinal. I do have a small little half unit play on Mahova. I tailed the great Zachary Cohen, who's got some awesome write-ups at VSiN.com. And then tomorrow we get the men's semifinal draw. Jannik Sinner and Novak Djokovic, and then Alexander Zverev against maybe the greatest long shot so far, Arthur Ferry, 500-1 to win Wimbledon before the tournament started. He's into the semifinal, people. We'll see what happens. A lot more on the tennis front as we get going. But as we know, it begins with the World Cup. Quarterfinals underway today. France, Morocco, and some startling TV viewership numbers when you come back on VSiN. By the way.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
And we'll have dinner there. So yesterday,
tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Hey, there's no shortage of betting opportunities this summer. Obviously, daily Major League Baseball, World Cup back in action today, but the countdown to football season is on, and now is the perfect time for VSiN's football special. Just $175. What does it get you? Well, VSiN Pro full access through the Super Bowl, including our currently open NFL betting guide at VSiN.com. Helps you attack your futures, win totals, division races, and everything you need to know in the upcoming season. Plus, you get all the real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, the AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. That's about as good as it gets, people. Remember, the earlier you sign up, the more value you get. Again, head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Jensen Lewis, Mark Malus is back with you. We get underway for the quarterfinal round in the World Cup. It's France and Morocco. 4 o'clock Eastern time is kickoff at Boston Stadium in Foxborough. No question, Moose, that this World Cup has captured the hearts and minds of everyone here stateside. We have really enjoyed all the international fans finding their way to the greatest country on earth, enjoying the food, enjoying the lodging. Heck, for all of our European friends, some air conditioning. And I'm sure those that have traveled back over are wishing that they stayed here much longer with the heat wave that is hitting there right now. The heat is on, though, as far as the ratings go. The Nielsen preliminary data, Moose, on the U.S.-Belgium matchup in the round of 16, 42 million. Now, where does that rank, and what perspective did you need for what that number and where it holds as far as what we're used to stateside? That's just short of Thanksgiving Day from this past year. And of course, it is the time where everyone in this great country sits down to watch football. It more than doubled Christmas Day in the NFL slate, and it was just short of the NFC Championship and AFC Championship games. My, oh my, Moose, we say football is king here in this country. Well, international football, especially when the United States is involved, man, oh man, a lot of advertisers very, very happy with those numbers here this morning.
Yeah, I mean, it's staggering. And if you look at that list, just look how astonishing the number for the Super Bowl is with 125. I mean, nearly three times the number of what we saw between the United States and Belgium, Mexico, England. You would expect that Sunday night affair, holiday weekend, 4th of July weekend, a 9 o'clock start on a Sunday night, not a lot going on. And obviously two great soccer nations. And the country was locked in. So it's been a blast. It'll be interesting to see what the ratings are here moving forward. You know, we have an opportunity to potentially get, you know, France and Belgium, France and Spain, and obviously have an opportunity to get England and Argentina as the two semifinals here in the World Cup, which I think would be, I mean, the Argentina-England matchup, I think it would probably get better ratings than Mexico-England. I mean, I really do, given Messi and his star, you know, how big of a star he is and how big of a global icon he is, especially when you look at Argentina and the way that they came off that victory a couple days ago down in Atlanta against Egypt, capturing the imagination of this country. But it's been unbelievable. It really has been. We still got a couple more weeks to go in this World Cup, but it's been an amazing month. It really has. No short of drama. They've grabbed the American sports fan by the throat latch and told them to pay attention, and we have.
Yeah, they have. So again, when you think about time zones here and looking at where we will be for today, 4 o'clock Eastern over across the pond in France is going to probably be, you know, around 9-10 o'clock local time. And so right in prime time, you'll get that international audience and then some, as well as on Friday when Spain and Belgium will do battle from Los Angeles at 3 o'clock Eastern. And then we get a little double dip on Saturday, Norway and England. You and I obviously will have a keen interest in that quarterfinal matchup, futures galore and all kinds of implications there. And then, boy, what a story Switzerland has been. First time into the quarterfinal round in 72 years. All they got to do, dethrone the defending champs in Argentina. With that in mind, odds obviously on the move here, and France continues to get shortened. They are now under 2-1 to win the World Cup. Spain has gone below 4-1 to plus 360. Argentina as well, for the first time, has dipped below 4-1. And then England just about plus 460 across the market. Let me ask you, as far as the Golden Boot race, because it has been one for the books. And when you have this kind of star power that's still alive, you're going to get some really, really outstanding numbers here as far as maybe guys with bigger names that might still have some value. Now, truth be told, I have a future on Erling Haaland to win the Golden Boot at 15-16-1 before the tournament started. Right now, he has 7 goals, just one behind Lionel Messi. Haaland is at plus 750. Mbappe and Kylian Mbappe in France will play this afternoon. And there is a great promo on DraftKings for you customers that are able to acquire it. There is a token that you can use for first goal insurance. And basically, Moose, you can go ahead and bet the first goal scorer. And if that man does not score the first goal and scores later in the match, you still get paid out for that price. So it's a great promo to take advantage of on DraftKings. Again, it's first goaler, goal scorer insurance. So for me, and I think you might agree, I mean, you have to take Mbappe. And if you look at where the numbers are, it's actually a pretty nice price to be able to do it. So you would click on the regular time tab. First goal scorer for Kylian Mbappe is plus 270. So again, as the promo goes, Moose, if Mbappe doesn't score the first goal, but scores again, or scores at some point in the match, then you still get paid out that plus 270 price.
Oh, that's great. I mean, that is awesome and something, you know, good to take advantage of. I think when we threw up the two odds boards, whether it be the odds now to win the World Cup is we're down to a field of 8. I do think you look at that England-Norway matchup as the team coming out of that matchup is being live here moving forward, because I think they can get themselves to a World Cup final. So if, say, you say, for argument's sake, this is Holland's world, right? And we're all spectators, and you're getting 14 to 1 on Holland now, and Norway. Now, the odds are not nearly what they once were, but I do think they'd be live moving forward. Do I think they're going to take down England? I don't, but I also have a future on England to win the World Cup this year. So, you know, I've got a little argument to be made in terms of the money. And I think when you look at the Golden Boot race, I think you make the argument as well when you're looking at Holland and you're looking at Harry Kane. Kane's sitting there at 9 to 1. If I like England to win the World Cup, and I think they're going to take down Norway, and then I think they're going to beat either Argentina or Switzerland, and then they don't have to beat both Spain and France. They just have to beat one of them conceivably in the World Cup final. And Harry Kane obviously is the driving force. I'm still getting 9 to 1 on a guy that has had, you know, tremendous moments so far here for England. So, you know, that's where if you make the argument you want to double down or you really want to get involved, but that's another way to look at it. Or if you want to make the argument that, you know, you think Norway is going to get themselves through a final. Well, you do know this. If Norway wins, Holland scores, right? And he's got 7 goals so far this tournament, and he's sitting there at plus 750. And if Norway is able to play that match and get the limited touches, but Holland is able to do something with those limited touches over the course of the match, which he's been able to do up until this point in time, then, mm-hmm. you know, plus 750 on Erling Haaland right now to win the Golden Boot is interesting as well. So that's the way that I'd look at it right now. I think the, you know, for the Golden Boot race, I think the odds are a little short on Messi and Mbappe. I understand why they are, but those are the arguments I'd make for either the Norwegian star or the English star.
Yeah, make sure you shop around and also read some of the fine print here. DraftKings does a great job of giving you multiple markets to choose from. They have an anytime goal scorer market that includes extra time. So, of course, you're going to get a little bit shorter of a price than what you would in just regular time. I just built a 4-leg parlay here on DraftKings Moose just for the heck of it. Messi, Mbappe, Haaland, and Kane. Anytime goal scorer, including extra time, is just a tick over 13 to 1. So, again, if the stars are stars, and they have been, and don't think for a moment they don't know where they are in this Golden Boot race, you know that they're going to want to have a chance, and Mbappe is going to want to at least come level with Messi today, if not try and get a brace to take the lead through this first match of the quarterfinal round. So a little fun way to do it. If you have some bonus bets, or if you have one of those insurance bets, I know there's multiple books that are offering kind of a no sweat bet promo. That might be a fun parlay to get involved in. So again, today it will be France and Morocco, 4 o'clock Eastern. France, a $4 favorite to qualify. Morocco 3 to 1, and we'll see what happens here today. The winner of this match will play the winner of tomorrow's 3 o'clock kickoff between Spain and Belgium, as they will do battle from SoFi Stadium or Los Angeles Stadium. I just is hysterical to listen to them try and do that. I understand why, but that should be a really good double whammy here to start the quarterfinal round today and tomorrow. Double whammy is what we saw yesterday. Two shots at history. One guy was not given a chance, the other was. We hear from both managers of both starting pitchers next on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Football season almost here. That means it's time for Winner Circle Proxy. And of course, VSiN teaming up to give away two incredible prize packages that will put two lucky fans into the world's biggest football contest for free. One winner gets the $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor. The other will win a $1,000 entry into Circa Millions. But both winners also receive a full season Winner Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. All you got to do is enter by Sunday, August 2nd, for your chance to win. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Great offer, great opportunity to do it. I'm going to try and find my way out in the month of August to get signed up myself for a solo Circa Millions entry. But again, great, great promo here from Winner Circle Proxy and VSiN for two free entries into two of the biggest football contests in the world. We have really been treated to some outstanding pitching performances here the last handful of weeks here, Moose, and two yesterday that had history potentially on the mind. First and foremost, we had a chance to visit with Jack McMullen earlier in the week, radio voice of the Miami Marlins. And if you saw over the weekend, it was Yuri Perez, who had a perfect game through seven innings, was lifted because of a pitch count, and it was a predetermined pitch count. It was his third start back from the injured list, and there was a lot to do about how, hey, he wouldn't have a chance to maybe get back. You never know when these opportunities come around again. Well, of course, Moose, we get not only one, but two pitchers yesterday with potential history. Jared Jones for the Pittsburgh Pirates ends up going six perfect innings, but gets lifted because, you guessed it, coming back from injury, Pittsburgh wanted to be a little more delicate with him. Here is Pittsburgh Pirate manager Don Kelly on the decision to pull Jones after those six perfect innings.
He knew, though, you know, coming off of surgery and him going five ups, I mean, we actually pushed him an extra inning there. He was throwing the ball so well, and that sucks, you know, for him. And under normal circumstances, you know, perfect game, he'd continue to go coming off of surgery and everything. We just can't push him there.
Was it a number of ups or was it number of pitches?
It was supposed to be five ups and 80, and he was so efficient, he ended up getting six. And I don't know what he finished, 77, you know, there. Just he pitched extremely well.
All right. I know Don Kelly, played against him and during my career, and I'm sure that decision, not only predetermined, Moose, but out of his hand. I can fully expect that was a front office call before even the first pitch was thrown. That being said, I personally have been part of a perfect game. I started one in college. I was out after five innings because of a pitch count threshold. It wasn't due to injury. It was just they needed me fresh for the weekend series. It was a midweek start. So this was more on, hey, you're going to be one of our big guys in the weekend, but we need some innings. So I started, went five perfect against Western Kentucky. It was the first perfect game, first combined perfect game in Vanderbilt baseball history. There were four of us that combined for it. So my experience, at least being part of it, and I've thrown a no-hitter myself in a seven-inning game, and I was one ball away from a perfect game. But I can understand, at least from a certain standpoint, on the injury issue. Where do you come down with that caveat? Because it's a similar excuse, if you will, to what we just saw with Yuri Perez with the Marlins. Third start back off the injured list, multi-time injured for his throwing arm. He ended up getting to seven innings and 92 pitches. Jared Jones, six innings, 77 pitches. Where do you come down on the decision yet again here in the last week or so for a young pitcher to be taken out so early?
Yeah, it's frustrating, you know, as a baseball fan. You know, just similar in conversation we had when we were talking about Yuri Perez, Jensen, that, you know, he may never have this opportunity again. And I think the manager was clear, open, honest, talked about what the game plan was. You look at Jared Jones, only has made, I think, 30 career starts on the major league level, just eight this year. They had a game plan going in, regardless of how well he threw. You mentioned it, you know, 80 pitches, five ups. They went, you know, 6-77 over the course of the game. He was just that efficient, that dominant. But I understand where they're coming from. Listen, I mean, like, you know, we could talk about, well, push for history, push for history, push for history. Well, you know, you don't have to go all that long ago. June 1st, I think it was 2012, 2013, Johan Santana for the New York Mets threw the first no-hitter in the history of the New York Mets, right? And, you know, Terry Collins was agonizing in the dugout that night going through it because Santana at that stage of his career was coming off an injury, a pretty serious one, was not the epitome of health at that stage of his career, was never really the same pitcher after. Really wasn't. So you can understand where these organizations, especially when you're looking at a guy like Jared Jones, who's, you know, 24 and has got his entire career ahead of him, to where if they all of a sudden push him, a more significant arm injury does happen, doesn't get the perfect game, and then significantly alters the rest of his career, you can understand where the Pirates are coming from. It stinks as a baseball fan because you want to see history. And when a guy's spinning a perfecto, you want to see him at least lose it on the mound, not get taken out of the game.
All right, speaking of baseball fan, that is who John Schneider is, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. Yesterday's Daily Diamond got started with Blue Jays and Giants in the Bay Area and history on the mind of Dylan Cease. Perfect, I believe, through 4 2/3. It was a walk that broke up the perfecto, but the no-no remained intact, and he was allowed to go in to the ninth inning and try and get it done. 118 pitches. Elliot Ramos ends up breaking up the no-no with a hit in the ninth there. Here's John Schneider. So opposite end of the spectrum, Dylan Cease, a veteran. He's in one of the top betting spots here for the American League Cy Young. Not that John Schneider cares about that part of it, but the guy was rolling. John Schneider, here's his reaction on the decision to allow Dylan Cease to go for the no-hitter.
I'm a fan of baseball. You know, I want to make sure that the guys are, you know, put in good spots for both short and long term. And I'm a fan of baseball. You know what I mean? I think if a guy has a chance to throw a no-hitter, I think you let him do it. And I think you make adjustments after that. So Dylan, you know, I think he's done it before and he's really durable. So he's really in the category where you can kind of be pretty aggressive with it. But not very often you get to see that. So if I can let a player have that opportunity, I'm going to do it every single time. Maybe not every single time, but as long as I'm allowed to.
Yeah, I like the wink there. Let me give myself the plausible deniability and the surefire out if this thing comes up again. Okay, so a little dichotomy here. The Braves and the Pirates, in which Jared Jones was pitching it, that was a scoreless game when they took Jared Jones out. When Dylan Cease went out for the ninth inning, the Blue Jays were up 10-0. That game was never in doubt. They were up 5-0 after the first. They had an opportunity to be able to put that thing to bed pretty early. This wasn't like the game was in doubt here, Mark, where John Schneider had to manage it, if you will, from a, hey, we still got to win the ball game standpoint. This thing was pretty much safely in the bag, but I do appreciate him saying, okay, he's kind of earned that right. He's, you know, pretty durable. And I also think that it's on the minds of that Blue Jay staff. Dylan Cease is the second betting choice to win the American League Cy Young. Statistically is all the Toronto staff is worried about. He and Camp Schlittler kind of neck and neck for who could start the All-Star game next week. So you wonder, and here's the other part of it. John Schneider is the manager of the American League All-Star team. What a conundrum. He's going to be in to not show favoritism. And this will go a long way into kind of saying, well, hey, my guy's been pretty good. Just look at his last start. This is going to be kind of fun to see. And boy, what a race we have. Camp Schlittler plus $1.25. Dylan Cease just south of 2-1 to win the American League Cy Young Award.
Yeah, I mean, and they're also at different stages of their careers, right? Whether it be the game, whether it be the fact that Dylan Cease signed a 7-year, $210 million deal with the Toronto Blue Jays, right? And he's a veteran starting pitcher, and he is healthy. And Schneider said, been there before, and, you know, he's a fan of baseball. You love it, right? I mean, if his pitch count was higher, I don't know if he's going out there for the ninth inning. I really don't. Even if John Schneider loves history and loves Major League Baseball. So I think you got to look through it with that prism as well. You love the messaging from the manager, but not every situation is one and the same, or whether it be game, whether it be pitcher, whether it be stage of career, whether it be investment in that starter. Listen, Cease deserved to go out there. The game was not in doubt. And have it decided on the mound, which it was. When you look at Jones and the Pittsburgh Pirates, that's a case of the Pirates understand the asset that they have in their young pitcher, and they want to make sure that they're protecting him not only for the rest of this season, but for the rest of his career.
Pirates end up falling 3-0 to the Braves. A three spot in the ninth inning as Atlanta steals that one, but two well-pitched games, two different results, and we'll hope that this epidemic does not continue. We want to see some history on the mound. We saw some history in the NFC South last year. What do the Carolina Panthers have for an encore? We visit them next in the Daily Gridiron.
You're tuned in to VSiN VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Back and rolling on a Thursday edition of VSiN by the Books. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moots, Mark Malusis, in for Super Dave Ross. Super Dave going to join us in the final hour of the program. A little UFC 329 preview and update on the Scottish Open. We will update you as the hour comes to a close here at the top of the hour on where some of the leaders are. First round there from the Genesis Scottish Open underway in earnest. But now we continue our countdown to the Hall of Fame game. Next stop, the Carolina Panthers. So let's dive in today's edition of the Daily Gridiron.
This is the Daily Gridiron.
Well, what a year it was as Carolina ends up finding their way into the postseason in 2025. Yes, I think we could say, Moose, it was a weak NFC South. When you win a division with a sub-500 record, I think it's fair to say that at 8-9. But hey, they're going to hang the banner. 2025 NFC South Division champs, and that's all that matters at that point. Okay, saw a couple of meaningful steps forward from their quarterback, Bryce Young. What a rookie season it was for Tetteroa McMillan. 70 catches for over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, winning the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Obviously, when you run up against Matthew Stafford and the Rams, that is a tough pill to swallow, trying to win that kind of a postseason matchup. But I think Dave Canales, year 3, feels like they've got this organization at least headed in the right direction. A couple of standout signings, mainly Jalen Phillips there, the edge rusher formerly of the Eagles. 4 years, $120 million, 80 of that guaranteed, by far their biggest move of the offseason on that front. They also used their first round selection, number 19 overall, on Monroe Freeling, the offensive tackle from Georgia. Also looking at Lee Hunter, the second round selection, that was number 49 in a trade with the Vikings. The defensive tackle, nose tackle, kind of versatile there from Texas Tech. Really good immediate run defense help. Chris Brazel, the second, a wide receiver they took from the University of Tennessee with their third round selection. So if you kind of look at this offense, let's start there, Moose. When you look at Bryce Young, again, steps forward, still undersized, for an NFL starting quarterback. Backfield of Chuba Hubbard, Jonathan Brooks, Trevor Etienne, A.J. Dillon now in the fold for those short yardage situations. And of course, as we said, McMillan, their star number one receiver, Jalen Coker, Xavier Leggett is out there. And again, Chris Brazel is going to be in there. Do we take this team with the steps forward? And I get it. It's a division champion that's coming back to try and defend that title. But boy, with the improvements of where the Saints are and with the Buccaneers, with all the injuries that they had last year, still alive towards the last couple of weeks to try and win this division. And then the Falcons now with Kevin Stefanski, Tua Tagovailoa is going to be in the fold there. Where do we put the Panthers in your eyes headed into the 2026 season as a viable candidate to defend their NFC South title?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I'll put it to you this way. I mean, I think last year, and I give Canales and Young a ton of credit. He threw for over 3,000 yards, 23 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. You went through the stats when you're looking at Tet McMillan. I think they addressed some needs in this offseason. I think they spent north of $200 million. Phillips being a big-time key, they need to get, and they need fourth-quarter pass rush. We've seen that before and be an issue for the Carolina Panthers. I mean, you go back to a year ago, it's not like they won their way in. I mean, Carolina got into the playoffs. I think they lost 3 of their last 4 games. I mean, so, I mean, it was like the division that nobody wanted to win when you're looking at Carolina. So, you know, I'm a little concerned when you're looking at the Panthers. You look at their win total on the season is sitting at 6.5. They picked up the 5th-year option on Young. There's still reservations and concerns in terms of the caliber of quarterback that Bryce Young is going to be. You look at the schedule, and it's daunting. I don't like the early bye when you're looking at week 5. I really don't. I mean, there is a stretch when you look at, you know, the stretch where you're Ravens home, Buccaneers on Monday Night Football, then Vikings on the road, Saints at home, Bengals at home, in Pittsburgh, Seattle at home. I mean, that is a really, really difficult stretch of, you know, 5-6 games there when you're looking at the Carolina Panthers. And, you know, I think they could show some growth this year. And then you mentioned it, Jensen, at the end of that conversation, the complexion of the NFC South. And, you know, what do you think the coaching change is going to mean down in Atlanta, right? What is Penix going to be as a quarterback when you're looking at, you know, the Atlanta Falcons? There's a lot of talent on that team. There's no doubt Bijan Robinson, along with Jahmyr Gibbs, is the two best running backs in the National Football League. But, you know, the Falcons have been a team that have underwhelmed despite being talented, and they are a talented group, right? You mentioned in terms of Chuck and the New Orleans Saints, you saw improvement a year ago under Kellen Moore, and I think they have found their quarterback in Chris Olave being the go-to target. And then it's Baker and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, even though Tampa's going to look a little bit different when you look at that receiver room, it's still a defense that, you know exactly what you're going to get, and Baker is the uber competitive guy. So it's kind of a little bit of a mess when you look at the overall complexion of the NFC South. I know you can make an argument for Carolina, and if you're really bullish on Bryce Young and says, well, I think he turned a corner last year, and I think this year, after the Panthers picked up his fifth-year option, he's going to take a massive step forward. The other issue you have is I just don't like the way that the schedule lays out. Now, schedule, right? And you say, well, but sometimes the schedule makers – give you an opportunity where they give you breathers throughout the course of the season to be able to catch your breath with the way that the way it's stacked for Carolina. I don't like the early bye, as I mentioned before, and there are long sustained stretches where they're playing really good teams. Like, you think about the 4-game stretch where they're in Green Bay, Denver home, in New Orleans, Baltimore home. I mean, that's middle part of the year. That is a really difficult stretch for Carolina. So I would take the under 6.5. I think we're going to see a regression in the Carolina Panthers this year.
So, fascinating part, again, a big reason to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Each team broken down and by that schedule that you alluded to, Moose, a really great series trend involved in the head-to-head matchup. If you're bullish on Carolina, week one, they will host the Chicago Bears. Underdogs are 8-2-1 ATS in the last 11 head-to-head matchups there. And then on the road in Atlanta in week two, Carolina is 5-1 ATS in their last six. They're in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Remarkable trends here. And hey, listen, I know there's going to be a lot of pressure on Ben Johnson and company in Chicago to follow up what a ridiculously good season they had a year ago. Perhaps Carolina, an ATS darling, to just go ahead and lock in and take for the first couple of weeks, just knowing how great they've been against those two opponents. I wanted to ask you a question on a couple of player props for season futures, and specifically Teteroa McMillan. His regular season receiving yards prop is 949.5. Minus $1.10 to both sides. And his regular season receiving touchdown number is 6.5, juiced slightly to the under at minus $1.15. If you're bullish on Carolina, then I think a great correlated play is an over for Teteroa McMillan, 949.5 receiving yards and over 6.5 touchdowns. I would think the volume, and yet again, another full year, and again, everything predicated on health too. But if you're bullish on Carolina, that might be an alternate correlated play that I would look at. And I get where the win total, I mean, they have the third toughest schedule on paper, Carolina does, in the National Football League. But if you think that they're going to be behind in some of those games, well, that means you're putting the ball in the air. And I think Tet McMillan could be one of those guys that benefits a lot.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And he had 122 targets a year ago to go along with 70 receptions, and he had 7 touchdowns. So he went over that touchdown mark. And, you know, people, when he was coming out of Arizona, whether or not he had elite level top end speed, doesn't matter. I mean, size wins. He had the ability to go out there. And there were some catchable balls last year that he dropped that I think will probably become a thing of the past. But develop that chemistry with Young. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Can beat you in a myriad of different ways. Tall physical receiver, can get downfield as well, and is going to get the looks. So all of those things, and you mentioned it, hit upon it there, where when you look at that individual prop mark and say, like, you're like me, and I'm not really high on Carolina in 2026. Well, if they're trailing in a lot of these games, and it's a great point, gents, and when you look at game flow, if you're trailing in a lot of these games, you're going to be throwing a lot more. So if you're looking at the season-long props, especially when you're looking at the number one wide receiver for Carolina, who's now going into his second year, I like both over his, whether it be receiving yards or whether it be receiving touchdowns on the season, because I think he's going to be north of a 1,000-yard receiver, and I think he's going to have 7 to 8 touchdown catches on the year.
In our VSiN NFL betting guide, amongst our 23 experts and analysts, this was the most evenly distributed division winner selection. 7 for the Saints, 6 each for the Bucs and the Falcons, and 4 for the Panthers. Safe to say, a coin flip division in the eyes of our VSiN brethren. And the men and women involved in that one, boy, it's going to be fun to look back. Highlights and headlines up next. Latest from the Scottish Show.